Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Joyce M. Roche, former president and CEO of Girls Incorporated, also the author of a brand new book called The Empress Has No Clothes, Conquering Self-Doubt to Embrace Success. And first of all, Joyce, thanks so much for joining us today on The Front Page.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, when I got into the book, I thought this might be more of a self-help book, or it's also a lot about, I guess, your own personal story of having to overcome maybe self-doubts along the way. An interesting book.
Thank you. Yeah, it is primarily my story about my time in my professional career, moving up, being successful, and yet dealing with this little voice of self-doubt, even in the face of that success, that constantly had me worrying that maybe each new promotion or each new level of responsibility was going to be a point at which I would stumble. And then someone would say, oh, I knew she couldn't cut it. I knew she wasn't ready for that. And it just forced me to, you know, work crazy hours, over-prepare for everything. And essentially, that became the subject of a book I had contributed to a previous book called What I Know Now, Letters to My Younger Self. And when I told this story in that book, numerous people emailed me, sent notes, etc., saying, you're telling my story. And I realized that what I was dealing with was something that many, many people deal with.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the one thing that really caught my eye about this is when you talk about conquering self-doubt and embracing success, it's almost like we never seem to feel like we're worthy of the success that we may have achieved in life.
Well, that's absolutely true. And especially, you know, and I've found that there are, you know, a lot of people and a lot of very successful people, which was the other reason in the book, while it's my story, I've introduced stories from other people who folks would recognize as being successful to show that, in fact, it is something that many of us deal with. And this whole question about deserving of your success until you learn how to, and there's a name for this called the imposter syndrome, which I later learned. And, you know, until you learn how to quiet that voice, there's still that question that constantly plagues you maybe you're not ready. Maybe you don't deserve the success that you're getting, and that's why you don't enjoy the journey of it.
I got the impression that you were very surprised to find out that there are a lot of people out there that have felt the same way that you felt.
Oh, I was very surprised. When I, as I said, I contributed to this book when I was still at Girls Inc. In 2005, called What I Know Now, Letters to My Younger Self, and I described this. And really, it was kind of an epiphany for me because I had never verbalized these feelings before. And when I did, and these, you know, outreach that, you know, people reaching out to me, talking about the fact that they shared this kind of feeling. And then as I talked to some of the people that either I was working with or engaged with in a board, also voicing that they had dealt with those same kinds of feelings. So it really was quite a surprise that it was so many people. And that really was the reason why I did the book, because as people reached out to me and talked about this, I thought about my own, you know, reaction that, in fact, I thought I was the only one. I wanted people to realize that they're not the only ones who deal with this question and this self-doubt, and that also that you can learn how to quiet the voice. So that was really why I decided to move forward with doing the book.
And Joyce, you came from a very humble background, and as I was reading your own personal story and thinking about this thing that maybe you didn't feel worthy of the success that you achieved, I was saying, gosh, if she doesn't feel like she's worthy, how can anyone can? Because as we talked about, the background was so humble and you achieved a great deal moving through school and into a professional business career.
Well, I did. And I think that was really as I learned about the imposter syndrome, one of the triggers is that, in fact, when you know, one of the things could be when you come from humble beginnings and find yourself competing and engaging with people who grew up with a lot of resources, that you wonder, oh my goodness, how did I get here? And am I going to be able to cut it? So I learned through my own, you know, exploration of this question of imposter syndrome or self-doubt that there are these triggers. And one of the triggers is that. And I found out that this happens in a sense when, in fact, you are dealing with people who are different from you, that the majority of people you're dealing with are different from you. So it could be someone of color dealing with the majority population. And so therefore, you know, feeling like, well, wait a minute, do I fit? Am I going to be accepted and acceptable in this place where I am and involved in? Or it could be a woman who finds herself working with and competing against or engaging with primarily males, and there are very few females in that. That can be another trigger. So it's whenever you are different from the majority population that you're dealing with that seems to cause this trigger to happen.
Well, they say, and you probably heard this, that people will say a little fear is a good thing because it can drive you hard to succeed, but can maybe it overdrive you?
Well, you know, I get that question a lot. People say, well, if it drives you to, you know, to success, and it does, the reason it drives you is that you're constantly, this question about deserving or of what your success is, that you're constantly trying to prove that you do deserve to be there, that you can compete. And so what, so there is the drive, and the drive usually results in some level of achievement or success. And but one of the issues is that that's the positive. There is a dark side to it. The dark side is that you usually work crazy, you know, hours and, you know, overwork, which can lead to stress, high stress levels. It can lead to physical damage. You can compromise your personal life because you're so driven to trying to show that, in fact, you are worthy of the success you have and that you deserve to be in the positions you are. So that's the downside of it is this, you know, the potential of physical harm and the potential of personal harm in terms of relationships, et cetera.
That's kind of where I was going next.
Yeah.
In reading about your story, I was thinking, man, you know, you work so hard, and you know this feeling of inadequacy and not being deserving. I mean, this whole thing says to me, it's just sucking the joy out of your life and just, you know, sucking away your life, and you don't really have a life outside of just trying to achieve more.
Well, that's true, and again, that was the reason for doing the book, is that I was being successful, and I wasn't enjoying the journey. Until I learned how to what I call internally validate myself, to be able to build this internal assurance that, yes, I was ready for this. Yes, I had accomplished these things, and I deserve to be where I was. But in that process, during that process, is exactly that. I was not enjoying the journey. I was successful, but I wasn't enjoying the journey until I learned how to quiet the voice.
You came up through the cosmetics industry. You worked for both Avon and Revlon, and
mm-hmm.
You started in the 60s, and I know for an African-American woman at that time, or even just a woman, to work your way up the corporate ladder was very, very difficult, and that probably had to add so much pressure on you as you were trying to achieve and show that you were worthy even to others and to yourself.
Yeah, it really, I mean, I actually started my career in the 70s, but it was exactly the same kind of situation or environment that you're mentioning. You know, women were going into the workforce and in professional positions in greater numbers than had ever happened. But often I found myself being the only woman in a meeting or one of maybe two. And you know, as I talked about earlier, this idea of having that trigger when, in fact, you're different from the majority of the people you're engaged with, that became a trigger because I was different from that population. And there weren't any role models. When I started in an entry-level position at Avon in 1973, and they had, I think, that year or maybe the year before, promoted their very first two women, as vice presidents in the company. So there weren't a lot of models. There weren't a lot of roadmaps. So, you know, those of us who were coming in had to basically try and figure it out ourselves. We had to try and adapt what we could from the male environment and adapt it to, you know, who we were, while at the same time trying to make sure that, in fact, we were seen as equal and competent to our male counterparts. So there was a great deal of pressure during that time.
Joyce, early on in the book, you talk about the imposter syndrome, and I was hoping that you might detail that for our listeners and talk about what that is exactly.
Sure. I learned when I described this that there was a term called the imposter syndrome or the imposter phenomena that was really defined by two researchers, Dr. Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes, from research they had done with 150 highly accomplished women. And what it is, it's this fear and self-doubt, even in the face of accomplishments and success, that causes you to feel that, in fact, you don't quite fit, that you don't, you know, your success may be to some degree a fluke. And so this whole idea that you're constantly, when you're feeling that way, working to prove that you, in fact, deserve to be where you are or deserve to be at that level that you're now competing. So, yes, this was actually documented research in the late 70s that these Dr. Clance and Dr. Imes did. And as I said, when I was contributing to this book in 2005 and describing, you know, this kind of gripping self-doubt that I experienced in most of my career, that I then learned that there really was a name. That name was the imposter syndrome.
So was it, when you found out about that, was there this moment of enlightenment where you said, voila, that's me, now I know what I need to do to fix me?
Well, I found out that voila, it was me, because the way they described the women that they had done the research, I found a lot of me in it. But luckily, I have to say, Chuck, I had learned, thank goodness, I think just because of time and experience, to quiet the voice. So at the point that I learned about it, I had already learned to gain that comfort and learn to enjoy what, in fact, I was achieving and doing. So the aha was that, oh, this was real. It wasn't just something that I thought was happening. But luckily, I had already learned how to quiet the voice.
Then did you say, man, I wish I'd learned this earlier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I said, I wish somebody had told me that there was such a thing. And, you know, and that I'm not alone in this place where I'm sitting right now. And that, in fact, there, you know, you can learn how to internally validate yourself, which is where, as we were talking about earlier, the joy of your, you know, your achievements, you can start to feel comfortable in the place where you are.
Well, after you wrote about this some, I guess you had people coming up to you and telling their stories.
Absolutely. I've been doing, since the book was released, which was in June of this year, and in fact I did the first event on the book in May. And at each one of these meetings and events that I've talked about the book and, you know, talked about the, you know, this imposter syndrome, this self-doubt, people immediately say, oh my goodness, you know, I'll describe a situation from my book. I'll describe either one of mine or one of a story from one of the people like Eileen Fisher or Rick Goings in that book, and they'll say, oh, I know exactly. I dealt with that. I dealt exactly with that situation. So people do want to talk. And that's really, that's the great thing about this is, you know, when you say, I wish I'd learned it earlier, I wish people had talked about it a little bit more because it would have brought me comfort.
I think sometimes when I was considering some of the things you talked about in your book, I know that it's kind of, we're almost brought up and told to be humble, that it's almost that idea that, I don't know, that we're not worthy of our success, and not to blow your own horn too much and don't get out there. And I'm wondering if this is all part of that, just the nature of our society and the way that we're brought up, you know, at least we were as kids many years ago.
I think, and especially for women, you know, it's not, it we drill, society drilled into us a great deal that it's not ladylike, not feminine to brag about your accomplishments. But I think this is in a sense really deeper than that. It's not just that you're not willing to kind of, you know, beat your chest publicly. It's that even to yourself, you're not able to get that joy from what you're doing. Because immediately when you get, let's say when you get a promotion or move to a new level of responsibility, you immediately, as opposed to feeling, oh my goodness, this is fantastic, you know, I've got this new thing, it lasts for a second, and then the next thing is, oh my goodness, now I've got to do this. Now I've got to work even harder. Now I've got to prove to more people that I can now be at this new level. So it's more of that than it is this outward bragging. It's really more internalizing the joy and of your accomplishments to yourself.
It's an insecurity, isn't it?
It's different. I asked, in fact, when I decided to do the book, and when I discovered that there was this research, I did reach out to Dr. Clance because I wanted to understand the difference between what I was feeling and this word that they had coined, which they call the imposter phenomena, versus insecurity. And what she said is that it's different from just plain, you know, simple insecurity. Someone who's insecure, usually it's only about their abilities, and they tend not to necessarily be successful because their fear of the lack in their abilities can often cause them to stay stagnant and not risk moving out of their comfort zone. Someone who, she said, you know, the imposter syndrome is much more complex. While it is a question about your abilities, what you are doing is it drives you, though, to prove, because it's more of a social anxiety. You're comparing yourself to some other group of people, and you want to show that, in fact, you don't have that lack. So it drives you, and therefore, people with imposter syndrome tend to be successful. So those with just simple insecurity tend not to be, because they often will just stay within their comfort zone, and people with the imposter syndrome will drive, even though it's very uncomfortable, when they get themselves into a new place.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Joyce M. Roche, successful businesswoman who has written a book called The Empress Has No Clothes. It details her history in business, and it's about conquering self-doubt to be able to embrace success, and we will continue our discussion with Joyce in just a moment here on Front Page.
This is Robert Siegel from NPR's afternoon news program, All Things Considered. There is a constant stream of information coming at you through the day, online, over the air, by word of mouth. At All Things Considered, we try to figure out what it means, why it happened, and how it will affect you. Join us every weekday afternoon, won't you? It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday afternoons at 5 o'clock on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Joyce M. Roche is our guest. Joyce is the former president and CEO of Girls Incorporated. She is also the author of a new book called The Empress Has No Clothes, Conquering Self-Doubt to Embrace Success. And Joyce, we've been talking the last few moments about the imposter syndrome. And for those people out there now that they've kind of gotten a feel for what you're talking about, what types of things can they do to overcome this?
Well, I think the first thing is that you shouldn't remain silent. And what I mean by that is to find someone, someone you trust, a coach, a mentor, your partner, a trusted friend, to talk about your feelings. Or, as I did, what I learned to do was to write about my feelings, to write down, take a piece of paper and a pencil, and write down how I was feeling in the face of these new situations, and then try and understand what was causing me to feel that way. So that's first, is don't stay silent. Find a way to share it with someone that you trust. The second is to find a way to get a reality check on that. So if this lack of comfort, this anxiety, this self-doubt, that's usually driven because now you find yourself in another new place, and usually it's a place of higher responsibility or whatever it might be, then as opposed to questioning, which is what often will happen, oh my goodness, am I comparable to the people now I'm going to compete against? And do I have the skill level to be able to do this new job? All of that doubt in terms of, and then the anxiety and stress that goes along with it, try and step back from it. And again, talk about or have this person talk about or use your paper and pencil and put down the things that the person or group or whoever it might have been that now has provided this new opportunity, what did they see? You know, what experience do you have? What have you accomplished? What is your educational background? Because they had to have evidence, and it's essentially you now gaining that personal evidence to then, as I talk about, learn to, you know, internally validate yourself. The other thing is that you're comparing yourself to this new group. And often what we do, we're very good at seeing our flaws. We aren't very good at seeing the things that we bring to the party, the strengths that we have. But we then, on the other side, we then look at this group group we're comparing ourselves to, and we just think about, oh, they have more experience than I do, or they went to a better school than I went to, or they've been here longer than I have been, and therefore they're probably going to do better than I will. Well, everybody, get a reality check. Everybody has their positives, but they also have their own, flaws or lack or whatever you want to define it as being. None of us are perfect. Not you and not the people that you're now comparing yourself. So basically, seeing others as they are. I talk about internally validating yourself, and one of the ways of doing that not only is getting this evidence in terms of what you've accomplished and really letting that sink in, but also when someone acknowledge you for your success or acknowledge some accomplishment that you've made, as opposed to doing our knee-jerk reaction of saying something like, oh, it was no big deal or anybody could have done it, really just let it sink in, say thank you, and then that starts to become a part of this way that you learn to internally validate yourself. Analyze your success. Look at those things. Look at all the things that you've done. And then, and then really, in a sense, take an inventory of your accomplishments is another way to do that. Exercise a sense of humor. We often find ourselves being so serious because we don't allow ourselves to take time to see the parts that would be hilarious if we ever thought about it. And I keep a sense of humor and laugh at some of that stuff, because as I wrote down some of the feelings I was having, and I would look at it and I would say, that is so crazy. So it's basically getting there. And then what you want to do is learn how to bring your authentic self to what you're doing. And that comes with once you're able to internalize what you have done, internalize your own success, internalize the fact that, in fact, you do deserve to be where you are, then you can start to bring that total person, because you're not so concerned about whether or not you fit or whether or not you will be accepted or acceptable, because each of us is a unique being. And this allows us to bring all of that uniqueness to what it is. And, this whole idea about different experiences and accomplishments adding to the total of what you're trying to achieve is really real. And we've got to recognize that that's when we bring real value, is when we bring our authentic self to a situation. So those are some of the ideas.
Joyce, how can people get a copy of your book?
They can get it on Amazon. It's been there since May, as well as Barnes & Noble in-store and online, as well as my publisher, Barrett Kohler, at barrettkohler.com. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or barrettkohler.com.
Joyce, thank you so much for your time today on The Front Page.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to chat about The Empress Has No Clothes.
And again, our guest today on The Front Page, Joyce M. Roche, successful businesswoman, and also the author of the book, The Empress Has No Clothes, Conquering Self-Doubt to Embrace Success. I'm Chuck Moraz, host of Front Page. See you next time.